Amen. I'm going to read in the book of Joshua, chapter 1 today, first chapter of Joshua. I want to read a few verses, starting with verse number 1 and go down to verse number 9. Glad to see Brother Mike Broughton able to be here today. Been praying for him, trusting the Lord for complete healing in his need. Praise God. Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Praise God. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise that's given to us there, and a challenge to us to be courageous. Three times in that text that I read today, you are commanded to be courageous, to take courage, and to believe God is going to fulfill what he has promised that he would do. You know, God is a God who keeps his word. He is a God who fulfills his plan and his purpose. And that's what we need to do. And today I want to remind you to trust in God's purpose. Trust his purpose. Trust what he's doing. And don't question it. Don't doubt it. But understand that God can work and does work in wonderful and amazing ways and reveals his purpose to us, his people. Amen. And he's trustworthy. You can depend upon the Lord. Now, the book of Joshua is really a lot of things. It's a history book, for one thing. There's a lot of Jewish history and the history of Israel that's given in the book of Joshua, and they're going in and possessing the land that is promised. And so there's just a lot of history. It picks up where Moses goes up on Mount Nebo and he dies there and is not able to go into the promised land. If you remember, you go all the way back to when Moses heard the voice of the Lord through that bush that was on fire, burning, not being consumed. He heard the voice of the Lord telling him what he was called to do, telling him what his purpose was. This is what I want you to do. You're going to be a deliverer, Moses. You're going to set my people free. And that's exactly what God used him to do. He delivered the people from the bondage of Egypt. He was the leader, the one that God used to bring them out of Egypt and then to lead them all the way over to the border just before they would enter into the promised land. sending in the 12 spies, and they come back with a bad report. 10 of the 12 come back with an evil report. That evil report so demoralizes all the rest of the nation of Israel that they forget about the promises of God. They forget about all the wonderful things that God had done for them in providing for them through the deliverance and the provision all through that wilderness journey over to the border there just before they would enter into the promised land. They forgot all of that because of the words of those spies that were filled with unbelief and doubt. Your words are important. We learned that during the revival this week on Sunday night. And then in other recent services, it's been repeated to us, this message, the importance of what you say, how you say it. It's important. Your words do have a big impact upon the lives of people. And that's what happened to them. They heard this Numbers chapter 13 calls it an evil report. It was an evil report, and that they decided, we can't go in. There's giants in the land. We can see the giants, and we see ourselves as grasshoppers. And so we're just not able to face this. And so they go right back into the wilderness. So instead of possessing the promised land, just giving you this brief little history here to start with. So instead of possessing the land that had been promised to them by the Lord, they spend the next 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. It was actually an 11-day march from Egypt to the promised land. An 11-day journey that turned into a 40 years of just wandering, meandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And an entire generation died in that wilderness with only Caleb and Joshua surviving. It's an incredible story as far as the history of the children of Israel was concerned. But now in the book of Joshua, the Bible says that Moses has died and Joshua is the appointed new leader. Joshua's name, Yeshua, it really is the same Hebrew name as the name that is translated in the New Testament in the Greek as Jesus. It's the same exact name, which just means deliverer and savior. That's who Jesus is, and that's the message of Joshua. Joshua is a type. And so not only do we get history in the book of Joshua, but we get a wonderful typology message. It is a type that we need to pay very close attention to, the types in this book. It's a history book. It's a typical book. And Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Praise God. Moses, of course, was a type of the law. He was known as the lawgiver. The law could only take you so far, and then you have to have Jesus. The law brings you so far, but you have to have Jesus to lead you in to the wonderful promised land. Canaan land, promised land, is not a type of death, although some of our older hymns kind of describe it that way, as crossing over chilly Jordan and entering into heaven. Well, Canaan land is not a very good type of heaven, because if so, heaven has a whole lot of fighting going on. There's a whole lot of conquering going on. There's all kinds of judgment that goes on. It's just not a very good type of heaven. And so instead of the promised land being a type of heaven, it's a type of the victorious life. It's a type of the life in the Spirit of God, the life in the Spirit. I guess you could say it is a type of spiritual revival. And what God can do and will do and has promised for his people, if you will just pursue it. Amen. And so the promised land is a type of the victorious life, of the life in Jesus Christ, of the life in the Spirit. As a matter of fact,
One of the New Testament writers refers to the going through the Red Sea as baptism. Baptism, that they go through the Red Sea, and they call it a type of baptism. And so I guess we could probably also refer to the Jordan as a second baptism, or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as they march across the Jordan and into this victorious life. Amen. You see, even though Moses has died, God's purpose does not die when men die. Amen. When one man drops off the scene, it doesn't change God's purpose. Amen. It does not. Because God is always going to finish what he has promised. He's always going to finish what he has started. And so if one man drops off the scene, and I tell you, I've been at funeral services where great men of God have been buried, and I've wondered, Lord, why did this have to happen? We needed this man of God. We needed this person who was so used of the Lord. But God, in his purpose and his plan, he chose to allow that person to conclude their life and their years of work or ministry, whatever they were involved in. And then God continues it. He continues it. And he has a divine purpose. And what he has started, he'll complete it. He'll continue it. So don't lose heart. God always finishes what he has begun. God's sovereign purpose and plan is going to be fulfilled, and I want to be a part of it. Amen. I hear people talking about the good old days. Oh, it was so good, man. People used to pray, and people used to really be dedicated, and people used to really... And you hear about all these wonderful experiences of the past, but we don't live in the past. We can't live in the past because we're living right now in this day. And I know there are dark days, and I know there's some challenging things that we face all around us. But God knew that. He knew that before he promised us that we could live a victorious life. He's promised us that we can live in the power of the Spirit. No matter what is going on in this last day and in this generation, we can still see the purpose of God. So God's purpose is not dependent upon one particular person. It is dependent upon a faithful God who will keep his word. Amen. So that second crossing over Jordan is a very clear type of the baptism in the Spirit. John said, I indeed baptize you. This is in Matthew 3:11, with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than thy, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Another baptism, the crossing over of the Jordan into the promise of a victorious life, into the promise of a life in the Spirit, a life in Jesus Christ, is what the promised land really promises you and me here today. Amen. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is in John 1:17. And so God wants to speak to us and help us to see he's got a purpose. He's still fulfilling his purpose. He's still at work in these last days as much as he has in any other generation. God is still at work. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose. And we need to be on board, allowing God to work in us. Amen. His purpose remains the same in every generation. Surprisingly, you may think, well, this generation is different. Sure, it's different, but that doesn't mean that God isn't raising up men and women of God of this younger generation, because he is. Amen. He is. He is raising up those of this younger generation who have a desire to know God, a desire to walk with God, a desire to be used the Lord. And even some that may feel like I have messed up so big, God could never use me. I have failed so completely. that God could never, ever use me. Don't question the Lord. Don't question what God can do, because God can use whoever he chooses to use. Amen. You know, Peter's failure was a pretty terrible failure. It really was. He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord twice. He even cursed and swore in his denial before all those in Galilee. But then the Bible says that when the cock crowed three times, that Peter remembered the words of Jesus. He remembered that Jesus had warned him about what could happen. And the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter repented, thoroughly repented of what he had done. And that began a wonderful comeback in Peter's life. Praise God. Don't ever think that you're too far gone. Don't ever think that there's no hope for you. Don't ever think that God could not use you, or that his hand might not be upon your life. Peter denied the Lord. He even cursed in his denial. He rejected the Lord in front of all of that company that was there. Denied the Lord. But the Bible says he wept. He went out and he wept bitterly and repented of what he had done. You know, on resurrection morning, when those women came into the garden and they saw that angel sitting on the sitting on that stone that had been rolled away, that the Bible says that that angel said to them, "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you." I think it's interesting that that angel said, "Go tell all the disciples and Peter," who was probably tucked away in some hiding place thinking, "I've messed up. I had such an opportunity. I had such a calling. And God could have used me in such a wonderful way. But now the angel of the Lord says, go tell my disciples and Peter." Amen. And Peter. And God was just getting the message to him to let him know that I'm still going to use you, Peter. I'm still going to use you. You haven't failed. And on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter that rose up to preach after that group was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter stood up with boldness and great courage, and he preached that first Pentecostal message on the day of Pentecost. And he did it with the understanding that God was going to use him. God has had a purpose for him. And God has a purpose for you. No matter how you have failed, no matter how far away that you feel like that you have fallen away from God's calling and God's purpose for you, God has a plan for you. God has a work to do in you and through your life if you'll make yourself available to the Lord. Amen. God has a purpose. Just as he spoke to Joshua that day, said, "Moses is gone. I'm calling you now. You're the one that I'm going to use to lead this people over the Jordan." And he said, "Every place that the sole of your foot sets on, I am going to give that unto you." Just like I said to Moses, the very promise that was his is yours as well. You just have to possess it. You just have to be courageous and bold to step forward. You know, the enemy loves to beat people down. He loves to condemn. He loves to speak words of hopelessness into the minds and the hearts of people. When you have failed God, you don't have to be a failure. You may have failed the Lord, but that doesn't have to be your identity. I'm a failure. That's who I am now. If you'll do like Peter did, he ran and he repented and called upon the name of the Lord. And then the Lord remembered him. And the Lord anointed him. And the Lord filled him. And he stood up and became this mighty leader in the church filled with the Spirit of God, so can God use you if you will allow Him. That's His purpose. He has a purpose for every generation. Amen. Every generation. He's not going to forsake any generation. So if you're thinking, well, it was only in the good old days that wonderful spiritual things happened. Well, if you do, then you're doubting the promise of God. You're doubting what God has said that He would do. He told Joshua, I'm going to give you the same that I gave to Moses, the same promise I'm going to give to you that I'd given to him. And today we possess the same promise, the same potential, the same holy purpose in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be used of God. Amen. God's purpose, we need to be reminded, is for those who are full of faith and obedience. He told Joshua, everywhere, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I'm going to give it to you. But you're going to have to take some steps. You're going to have to move forward. You're going to have to be willing to move in the direction. And the enemy's there. He's trying to continue to occupy the lands. You're going to have to go in. You're going to have to conquer. You're going to have to see the enemy defeated. You're going to have to go in to the promised land. And the purposes of God are fulfilled whenever we are willing to step forward in faith and obedience. Amen. It is not always an easy thing to do, but it's always the right thing to do, to walk forward in faith. Then we also need to remember that the purpose of God doesn't just happen in one day. It doesn't just happen in a few days. The purposes of God are a process. Amen. They are a process. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 29. God said, I'll not drive them out from before thee in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. Verse 30, he says, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. I'm telling you, the purpose of God is fulfilled in a process. The things that God has promised you, it won't happen overnight. He said, it's not going to happen in a year. Just little by little, as you march forward, as you obey my voice, as you clear out the enemy and have one victory after another, little by little, I will lead you into this victory. It is a process. Too often, you know, especially in this particular age we're living in right now, everything, we want it to be done like right now. We want it to be done immediately. And we're in this, you know, instant age, and it's incredible. All the things that we can do and it can get done in such a short amount of time with technology and all that's available to us. It's not that way in the kingdom of God. He said it's little by little. Just plodding along, just obeying the voice of the Lord, just moving in the right direction, just listening to the voice of the Lord. Little by little, you go in and you drive out the inhabitants. Little by little, you are increased. Little by little, you inherit the land. The land, the promised land, really is a land that is a type of spiritual victory, of spiritual conquering and a victorious Christian life. And just because everything isn't working out the way that you want it to, and you're not really walking in all the victory, you wanted everything to be taken care of. But it happens in a process of time. You got to be faithful. You got to be persistent. And just stay at it. Stay at it. And trust the purposes of God to be fulfilled little by little. Amen? Amen. God has a plan and a purpose to fulfill in your life. And then the purpose of God also demands courage. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, it takes a great deal of courage. It takes bravery. It takes a persistence. You see, I thought God was going to do this for me and he was going to win this. Though he told them, you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to take some steps. I'm going to give you the victory, but you're going to have to be willing to take some steps. So the purpose of God is fulfilled when we take courage. Divine operation partnered with human cooperation. Amen. Divine operation partnered with human cooperation. Us doing what God has called us to do. Then we're able to enter in. And it takes a great deal of courage and boldness and bravery and strength of character, mental courage, moral courage, and determination to move forward in God. Amen. To be used of the Lord. That's what it takes. You have to trust God that his purpose is going to be fulfilled and that you're going to be right where God wants you to be, stepping forward and accomplishing those things that he wants to use you to accomplish. Amen. Now, I'm convinced that when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, there may have been a little bit of a hesitancy. There may have been a little bit of, oh, but I can't do this. I don't know. That was the human side. But the Spirit of God that was within him caused him to stand up on that day, to speak with courage and to speak with boldness under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And he spoke that day, and 3,000 souls lives were changed and souls were saved as a result of Peter's courage to stand up and to do what God had called him to do. His failure didn't stop him, but he was moving forward in faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, God is the same God of years ago, generations before. The same way that he has worked before, he can work today. He can move today. And he can use you in your life today if you are just be willing to obey the voice of the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Not to turn to the right, not to turn to the left, not to be distracted, but stay on point, fixed upon the purpose of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. There's the key. There's the key that is given to us from Joshua chapter 1. As you meditate in the Lord and in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord, you keep that as the abiding truth within the center of your mind and your thoughts. Then God uses that to work in you, to make your way prosperous, to give you success, to bless what you are doing in your efforts. Every effort of your life can be blessed because you have put God and his word first in your life. Praise the Lord. Trust God's purpose. So you can see there's a wonderful typology that applies to every one of us here, that we can enter in to the Spirit-filled life. We can take hold of the promises of God, but we're going to have to be courageous and bold and full of faith and obedient to God to see his plan fulfilled in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, because I know that you can speak very clearly to us. And Lord, maybe to some who are in this service today who have doubted and wondered if there was anything that God could ever do with their life. But Lord, I just pray that faith would rise up in their heart. today.
Lord, that they would just take hold of the promise of God and believe, Lord, that you do have a plan. You do have a plan. You do want to use each person in this building for your glory, to fulfill your purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Praise the name of the Lord.